To promote my new flower shop, I had one place print my business cards, another print my brochures, and a third, my signs. Now my roses aren't red, my violets aren't blue, my geraniums look dead, and I don't know what to do.
Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a true reflection of your company. And now at Staples, spend $50 or more on print and marketing services and get $5 off your next in-store purchase.
Now my business is blossoming and I'm spending less green.
Exclusions apply. In-store only. End 6/23/18.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody back to Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia, the soul in sports. People, I am your host, Mike Knox, and indeed it's a pleasure to be with you guys here today because simply the weekend was amazing, and because of that, I'm going to show you and prove to you while I spell my name with three X's because I am hardcore. But as always, first, people, the particulars. Number to call in, 347-637-3859. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at Soul in Sports. Also, 1340 AM Fox Sports. And hell, since you're there, follow me truly. Me too, really. Yours truly. Mike Knox, if you will, so to speak, at Mike Knox. I am loud. I speak loud. And fellas, frankly, if you're not making her get loud, that is your problem, not mine. But as always, people, I wear my heart on my sleeve. And simply, I wear it this way today. Is the WWE in trouble? No, seriously. We're talking about a multi-billion dollar company that fans go to their events just to cheer and have chance of beat the traffic and have beach balls parties. But an independent show run by the son of the late, great American Dream, Dusty Rhodes and Cody Rhodes, and a group of young men who have gotten themselves over without the machine known as the Young Bucks, say it's all in. It's going down September 1st, Chicago, Illinois. Chicago made all in. Trust me, it didn't make CM Punk sold out in less than 30 minutes. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve today, I want to ask you guys a question. Seriously. Tiger Woods, y'all. Why do we care? Like, I'm serious. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired of having to tell you that I'm sick and tired of talking about Tiger Woods when he's finishing 11th. 11th. I don't care if he's not winning. And neither should you. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, the Washington Capitals have put the proverbial foot on the throat of the NHL and having noticed that they beat Sid the Great Crosby. They're up 2-0 now in their series to finally go touch Lord Stanley Cup, if you will. Will they do it? Can they do it? Also, boxing this weekend on the four letter, got to see history made as Lemonchenko, however the hell you pronounce his name, as mama calling him Lammy, I'ma call him Lemmy, the Czech Slovakian is now known as the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. He's made history. He has done something, if you will, so to speak, that the likes of Floyd Mayweather couldn't do. He's done things the like of, you know, Oscar De La Hoya couldn't do. He has won 3 divisional weight classes by his 12th fight. Too much too soon or right in the right place at the right time? And as always, we got to talk about the NBA playoffs. It's fantastic, and it's only been 1 game. So I ask you the question, is it too soon to say it's over for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers? Some are saying so. Some are saying, get real, he's a GOAT. And I say, let's stop calling players the GOAT, because LeBron is not the GOAT. I will never call him the GOAT. You may call him the GOAT. I know that Wally will never call him the GOAT because he thinks the GOAT is Magic Johnson. But with all due respect towards Wally, who will be coming on shortly to pretty much tell me how I'm wrong, no one calls Magic the GOAT. So, shall we stop calling them GOATs and just say they are great players in their own right? But as always, I'm not here alone or by myself. Welcome to the program live from the DMV. And we know his black ass got some ID because they will lock him up. If you don't believe me, go watch Tatis Gambino's video. What's going on, Wally?
What's going on? I will say this. You know, checking my Twitter timeline, you'll see some folks who call Magic the GOAT other than myself. So let that be known. We'll put it out there.
The little bit of people don't even get enough to put on a petition to get him qualified as the GOAT. So it's okay if you have about a few hundred want to say Magic's the GOAT, that's fine. But the millions and millions will always say it's MJ. And now some are saying LeBron, but that's okay.
Look, some people, you just said it. Some people say LeBron. Some people say, like, Steph Curry at the time,
Kobe,
the best player in the world. What does that mean? Some people say Kobe. Some people say Kobe's the best player, and that's jaded. That's, if you look at stats, that's not even factual. So I'm just saying, like, people can say whatever. My point is, people
you have
can
to throw
whatever.
That out there,
that's
right?
My point.
You have to throw that out there that Kobe's not even in discussion.
Yeah, but people say it though, and they keep saying he's the best. He's the best 2-guard ever. And I'm not a Mike fan, and I'll say Mike is 10 times better than Kobe. It's not even close. But I'm just telling you, like, that's the argument. The argument is that people will say whatever. Everybody has – this is my thing about GOAT status. Everybody has a preference, right? And it's biased to everybody's preference.
It doesn't matter if it's basketball. We do it with quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, the conversation,
course,
I think, needs to stop. You know? That's what's getting me. But we're going to talk about it today, and we're going to ask on this program, are we going to finally, you know, put it 6 feet deep, the GOAT conversation? Because like you said, we all have our preferences, and we're not going to change those preferences. You know what I mean? But also, welcome to the program. He's in the host state. He's probably in his car driving, because if you are in the Richmond, Virginia area, there's a little thing that goes on Mondays called trivia. Let's find out what trivia is on tap today. What's going on? His mama calls him Micah. You can find him on the Twitter at ME Richmond. What's going on, Micah?
I'm awake, and I ain't no fake. I don't like that Tiger Woods comeback that he tried to make. So I just want to let you people know how I feel about today and get on today's show. Yeah, I'm loud. That's loud as Mike Knox, but I'm second fiddle. Kind of like how LeBron James is to Michael Jordan. So I just want to make that little thing and love that soul. And you know, at the end of the day, Mike, you know, we can't teach that.
And you can't teach that. Well, there you have it. Trivia today. Where is it taking place at down there in Virginia?
There's a little spot called Gus's Italian Cafe. It's over in the Mechanicsville area. It's very, very nice little spot. They got pretty decent food. And, they give away money for you to come and answer questions. And I make it fun, because who wants to do trivia on a Monday and make it boring, like Alex Trebek?
I would come for the free money, but the way you advertised it, right, Wally, he was like, the food is okay, pretty good. Right? He didn't say the food was
pretty
good.
Pretty good. Food's pretty good. I mean, there's certain things I like, and there's certain things I don't like. Like, the best thing on the menu is the pizza. So far, everything I've had there, the best thing has been the pizza. For me. You know, I haven't had the burger yet, because people are like, well, why do you go to restaurants to get a burger? Because some people do burgers differently than you do.
I do burgers at every restaurant. You can't go wrong with a burger.
You can't. Now, there are some restaurants that do burgers wrong. And it's even sadder when the restaurant counts itself as a burger joint. Yeah, Red Robin. But anyway, not impressed. But anyway, y'all talking about some goats. Y'all know there's two kinds of goats, right?
There's really?
The greatest of all time goat, and there's that dude who always messes up that land shark goat. That guy.
Okay. Well, let's dive into the NBA. It is fantastic. And yesterday, if you follow Wally Wow's timeline, you will know that the Brad Stevenson's Celtics beat yesterday the Cleveland Cavaliers 108-83. LeBron James' team took a 25-point beatdown. And some people are going over and beyond and saying that this series is already over. But history tells us that you don't vote against LeBron James. You don't bet against LeBron James. And his press conference at the end of the game, kind of, you know, he muttered the same words, like, you know, this isn't March Madness. It's just one game. I've been down 0-1 before. I've been down 0-2 before. He almost wanted to say, I could see it in his face, I've been down 3-1 before. But, you know, but he was just making a point that it's just one game, and that's all it is. It's one game. Their job is to go in here and get one of the two games. That's what everybody says. The road team's job is to win one game, not necessarily the first game. And I personally think this is a bigger game. One, this is a more important win for the Celtics than it would have been for Cleveland, because Cleveland has been there before. And they do have one of the best we've ever seen in the history of basketball, LeBron James. So one game doesn't mean anything. And everybody can say, well, they got blown out and how they got blown out. But did you watch the game? Or did you just watch the highlights? Or did you catch the game at the wrong moments? This team had Cleveland and their chances in the third quarter to get this game into reasonable stratosphere of a comeback, and it didn't happen. And at that point, the game got out of hand. LeBron sits down, reserves himself some energy, and lives to fight another day. Coach himself, Wally, likes to give a lot of credit to Coach Stevens. He actually tweeted out saying, if you like basketball, you have to admire the coaching style of one Brad Stevenson. I am, on the other hand, of saying, this is just me and anybody who's been listening to the show for almost 2,000 episodes will know by now that I don't really go with the trends. They're just not my thing. And I'm getting sick and tired of Brad Stevenson being the best coach in basketball right now. That's just me. I'll get into that part of the discussion later on. But I'm going to start with you, Wally. Cleveland could have lost by 2 points. Could have lost by 1 point in overtime. It didn't matter. The win was all that mattered. Are folks leaping to conclusions too fast in this series when we already knew that Boston did have the better team on paper with this victory? Or, you know, LeBron said, it's just one game. There's a lot more in this series to be played. Your thoughts?
It's just one game. He's right. They got blown out by the Pacers in game one. So it is what it is. Like, LeBron is totally right. I mean, I think people, you know, it's a big – when LeBron gets blown out, everybody wants to jump on it, right, because it's LeBron James. Let's be real. Like, LeBron is the most polarizing basketball player we've seen in a long time. So when LeBron is getting beat down, it's like, okay, it's over. Stop calling him the king, this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? He's not the best. Like, he ain't the best. He ain't this, he ain't that. So in the grand scheme of things, people are overreacting. But I will say this, though, that, you know, Brad Stevens had a great game plan. He did what the other teams didn't do. Like, he doubled LeBron. He wasn't going to let LeBron beat him. You know, so Brad Stevens, you know, did something that Toronto couldn't do or didn't try to do, and he made the adjustment. Now it's going to be up to Ty Lue in game two to make the necessary adjustments, and also it's going to be up to the role players to knock down open shots. You had Kyle Korver miss open shots. You saw J.R. Smith miss open shots. They got good shots, and LeBron said that. And I believe Ty Lue said that, too. They got good shots. They just didn't hit them. So hopefully, for LeBron's sake and Cleveland's sake, in game two, those open shots will go win in game two.
Now, like you just said, it's just game one, and Stevenson's game plan was good. Marcus Morris, to me, is the biggest contributor here. And I hear you laugh, and here's my thing with that as well. It's the same preference that I've said this before in the show, and I say it because to me it spoke volumes to me watching this as a teenager or a young adult. And you saw the cover of Sports Illustrated and had, if you don't remember, it's one of the most iconic Sports Illustrated covers that I ever remembered in my life. And it was the Detroit Pistons and Michael Jordan on the cover of it. And it had, can anybody stop Michael Jordan? And they said, of course not. But the Detroit Pistons and Joe Dumars can contain him. And it had the picture of, you know, how the infamous Jordan driving to the basket, tongue out, look. And it has Joe Dumars, a bigger Joe Dumars image just holding him down. And that kind of lends me to this. It's not that Marcus Morris really stopped LeBron James yesterday. He just defended him pretty well. And it's one game and a seven-game series. And everybody can get the best of somebody on some days. And yesterday, it seemed that. But he even joked afterwards saying, I can tell my kids one day that I defended LeBron James the way that I did. Your take on that one, Micah. And I'll let Wally go ahead and take that, because he definitely laughed at the fact of that, Micah. Your take, that Marcus Morris defend LeBron James better than we've ever seen LeBron James defend before, or did LeBron just have a bad day?
I mean, them guys did a better defensive job on LeBron James than Morris did, and LeBron James still went off for 25 to 30 points. It's just the nature of the beast that LeBron James had all game. And if I remember correctly, he still had 15 points, and that wasn't bad for a person who was defending well, where he averages, you know, anywhere between 25 or 30 points, especially during this playoff run. Basically, what I feel is going on. I know you anti the crowd, but facts are facts. He lost Gordon Hayward, he lost Kyrie Irving, and the guy is using what actual legitimate superstar or star can you say that he has that is a major player on that Boston Celtics team that you'll be like, yeah, I can surround my team around that guy right now.
Oh, Tatum.
No one expected. Like, I mean, you can say Tatum. You can say Tatum, but this guy's a rookie. We didn't expect him to be able to play like this in the playoffs. I'm gonna lie to you.
Like, Tatum, if you look at just straight offensive ability, right? That kid is special. You knew that in Duke, though. You knew that. Like,
yeah,
I've always said this about every basketball player. Like, we all gotta realize, like there's a lot of talented kids in the NBA. Real talk, a lot of talented kids. Tatum is an extreme talent. And now he's on a team on a coach that's going to let him do what he needs to do to show the world his skill set. You got ball players who don't get the opportunity to show your skill set. He's getting the opportunity. And then you got a guy, don't forget Brown. A lot of people forget Brown was the best high school player coming out when he came out of college. Went to Cal.
Just think about it, though.
High school player. You got.
I'm not talking about Brown, but we can't. I mean, not everybody who's a phenomenal talent in college can pan on the NBA. So this is very, very good on Boston Celtics that Jason Tatum has panned out. And Jaylen Brown isn't beholden to LeBron James.
But look at Boston. Like what you just said to me. It's kind of I think you got to take that a little bit with a grain of salt, not taking from your comments on that. When you say that, Boston has been in a lottery, just like the 76ers. They have a wealth of young talent. They have two number three draft picks. They have a number six overall draft pick. Like, this team is very, very talented. So I don't think that no one...
I never said they had talent.
I didn't say you did. You said the youth thing. And to me, I hate that terminology in sports in general. If I'm good enough to come out of high school, if I'm good enough to be a one and done, then why does the moment in the playoffs have to be? It's all basketball.
That may not be all basketball, but the playoff moments are different because you saw what happened when the Victor Oladipo had his opportunity to be able to get out of Russell Westbrook's shadow, and he had the ability to go ahead and shut it down and to put the king away. When the time came for him to put the king away, he wasn't able to do it. And that's where the youth factor comes into play. Not that he ain't talented, because we saw him murk. I mean, he was on a warpath for like three games.
Victor was a killer. He was a killer.
For like three, four games, Victor was killing him. And then all of a sudden, three games later, it's like, I guess I can shoot a shot, you know. So all I'm saying is that Brad Stevens is the equalizer for that talent, because he gives them a certain level of maturity that other coaches, in my ability, outside of Greg Popovich, just won't.
I think that's what the equalizer is.
That's why the defense is so well on LeBron James.
Yeah, let me get your point, Mike, because you have a good point. You do have a good point. So this is the thing. Like, when you're looking at, when you mentioned Victor Oladipo, he was pretty much the scorer in Indiana. So all Cleveland had to do, all Cleveland did was they double-teamed on a high screen and roll to get the ball out of his hands. So it's hard. Once you know that you're the only player who can go ISO and dominate the game ISO, Cleveland, like, they adjusted, and they made other people beat him. So that's why Victor Oladipo didn't dominate throughout that series like he did in game one, game two, because they played him straight up, and he just dominated. And then you look at – so what Boston does, which is amazing, if you want to compare it to what Golden State does, there's ball movement. So it's hard to kind of like to focus on Tatum. Tatum gets to pick his spots where he can do his one-on-one, and Brad Stevens has spacing, so it makes it easier for him to score. And also he uses Al Horford in a high screen and roll. And, you know, Al Horford, if you double –
and you go to Tatum on a high screen or roll or row zero or whatever, you got Al Horford right there opening for that pick, that pop 3-point shot. So Brad Stevens has coached this team great in terms of spacing and ball movement, which allows Tatum to get off, which allows Jaylen Brown to get off. And you see Al Horford, you know, showing his skill set in terms of in the post and the three ball. So to me, the way they're coached and constructed, that's why they can get Cleveland problems. And also, one more big thing is they're tough. They play physical. They don't play punk basketball. They play a physical brand of basketball, which Indiana did to Cleveland too and gave them problems. So the physicality gives Cleveland problems as well.
347-637-3859. Again, I just think a lot is being said about this game. And most importantly, what's bothering me about this whole thing is it's a lack of what we're talking about, and that's giving the players credit and giving Brad Stevenson the credit. I will
Stevens,
always say
man,
this.
Stevens,
sorry, that's what I thought I was saying. It's the same thing. It's the same thing as I have with Bill Belichick. I hate that he gets the credit and not Tom Brady. Your game plan can be your game plan, but players have to execute it. And if players don't execute it, then it's just a game plan. Every coach has a game plan, right? And I'm also sick of the narrative of a coach to be a good coach needs to have good players and great players. I just hate when so much credit of a team goes to coaches. It's like I am definitely afraid of mice and rats. And it's like me being in a coffin full of mice every time I hear someone give credit to the coach and not the players. It truly burns my britches. It's like, damn, every time I hear it. It's like, okay, so Tatum didn't do anything, and Horford didn't do anything, and Rozier didn't do anything, and Jaylen Brown, these guys are just Marcus Smart gets no credit. It's like everything's Brad Stevens. I said it right? Just making sure.
So basically what you mad at is that there's a certain group of people, a certain punditry, that when they talk about these coaches and these players in tandem, it seems like they, just like what they do when they give the quarterback all the credit for wins and all the blame for losses, like he plays defense, you're saying that basically, I'm trying to interpret it for my own right, that none of these pundits ever give any legitimate credit to the players that execute the game plan.
They never do.
Or bad
they never do.
Okay, so,
they never do.
So do you, are you willing to concede that there are coaches who have game plans and they really suck at coaching and they really suck at making adjustments to allow their good players to put them in the best position to win? Do you concede that's a possibility?
The only thing with that is when you said, you know, make adjustments, right? So the first thing that comes to my mind is Andy Reid, Philadelphia Eagles. I thought he was a bad coach. I'm being honest. When it came to making adjustments, he wasn't very good at it. Okay?
Well, that's
so
part of coaching.
It is. It is. I'm not saying that coaches shouldn't deserve some credit. But the way you've heard it over the Sixers series, now in this first game, I've seen a meme. I believe, actually, I just saw it on your page, Wally, not too long ago, right? Of that infamous AI stepping over to Ron Lou, and they put
Amazing.
The face of
it's
Brad
true.
Steven over the face of AI. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I heard yesterday, watching the game yesterday, Van Gundy saying, well, golly. Teron Lou's a great coach. Teron Lou, Brown.
Well, Teron's not a good coach. Okay.
They got LeBron James. It's like
he's
having Peyton Manning on your
team.
Yeah,
Brown was a good coach, though. Brown was a good coach. He had no cast plan. Good, strong, good physical defense. I thought Brown was
Mike
good.
Brown?
That he was,
Mike Brown?
Yeah, I thought Mike Brown was a good
he's
coach
fair.
In comparison
no.
to, as far as bringing a defensive aspect to what the Cavs were playing.
Yeah, he's a good
I mean, under
coach.
Lou, I haven't seen defense yet.
Yeah. Look, Mike Brown's a good coach in terms of defense. I totally agree. Offense, that's to be determined. But as a defensive coach, he's a good coach.
Just like Mike D'Antoni's a proven offensive coach,
offensive
and
coach.
He has nothing
yeah.
on defense.
Exactly. Agreed. And when you look at Brad Stevens, the reason why you gotta give him credit, and I'm with Micah in this, is that and in all.
I'm
in
not
all,
saying don't give him credit,
Micah.
Wally. I'm not saying that.
Just,
if that,
okay.
I'm not
okay,
saying. Please. I'm saying. What I've heard all day, what I saw on the internet all day, what I'm around
yeah.
all day in meetings, and it's Brad, it's Brad, it's Brad, it's Brad. Again, Last week he was better than Greg Popovich. Give me a break.
Look, I've always said this. I'll say this. And like, if we're going on today, we're going off of today, right? We're not going on what you did in the past. We're going on today. If we're looking at what's going on today, right? Brad, and I said this, Brad Stevens is the best coach in basketball. If we're going out, and you don't got to win a championship for me to make the name. I thought Larry Brown was the one of the best coaches. He had it before he won a championship. So championships to me don't mean anything because you got the best player in the world, and that makes you win a championship.
I'm glad you brought up Brown from Philadelphia and everywhere else he was at as well.
So I don't get into winning championships to deem you as the best coach. No. But
Lenny
when you tell me Lenny when Wolf. You work – Lenny Wilkins was a great coach. We had Dominique Wilkins, to me, one of the best players to ever play the game. When you look at coaching and look at what you got to work with compared to others, right, and we're looking at the whole roster in terms of versatility compared to others, and then you look at what you do to get these guys to play at a high level and knowing what others have and they can't even get your level and can't even get to the postseason, can't even get to as far as you went. Let me give you a prime example. The Milwaukee Bucks team, talent for talent, is just as talented as the Boston Celtics. You have the Greek Freak. You have Middleton, who's a 20-point scorer. You have Jabari Parker, who's probably one of the most talented offensive players in basketball, he's off your bench. You have Eric Bledsoe, and he was healthy, too. And he was healthy since this. He was healthy for that postseason. You have Eric Bledsoe, and you can't beat Boston? You got the 76ers, another example. Regardless of that is a super squad in terms of talent. A super squad in terms of talent. They arguably, if coached correctly, should dominate the East and win an NBA championship. Talent alone. I don't care if they're rookies and second-year players. The Boston Celtics beat them. They're led by two young dudes.
King Vaughn 720 on the Twitter just put, you definitely need the right players to execute the game plan. For example, the West Coast offense in San Francisco, because of Bill Walsh, had the right players with Joe Montana and Jerry Rice.
Agreed.
And I look at Doug Collins. Doug Collins couldn't get MJ over the hump, allegedly, right? I don't think it was that. Really. I think what makes Phil Jackson a great coach was that he knew how to coach.
He relates to him.
Right. So, and it's what gets me. In one debate you hear, the coaches – in the NBA, they don't really coach the players. They're there to mend personalities. So, again,
some
you can
coaches,
put in a game plan. And I'm not knocking Brad. Again, Brad Stevenson's game plan defensively, like you pointed that out. I'm going to throw that out there. That was great. I'm glad you said that. Against the Sixers was amazing to me because we saw what, Benny was doing, driving to the basket. He said, look, that's not going to happen. It's a wall here. It was the great wall of the Celtics, if you will, so to speak, that stopped Ben Simmons. And the same kind of thing with LeBron James. And in the half court, they did what they did. I thought Marcus Morris personally did a really good job on him, on LeBron James. But, I want to hear his take. I got an Ether take right here. I played Ether earlier. Get it, Wally. It wasn't Marcus Morris.
He was all. Like, it's like Reuben Patterson and Kobe Bryant. It's like the other Wilkins brother and Michael Jordan. Like, come on. Are you serious? Like,
yeah.
I like Marcus Morris. I like his toughness. I love his Philly toughness. I like Marcus Morris. I like his brother Keith Morris. But come on, bro. Like, really? Like, he was all. Like, we know when Kawhi Leonard is second LeBron, that is a struggle. Like, you see it. Like, that is a struggle for LeBron to score buckets. He can score on Kawhi Leonard. True be told, when Kevin Durant checks LeBron, you can
Morris
see that certain
is big
of the
and strong.
Team.
And he's tough.
But he's not bothering that shot. He's not bothering. Like, LeBron turns his shoulder off the crossover. He gets by him. He's getting help. He's not a LeBron stopper. He was off. The same shots he was hitting against Indiana and Toronto, he was missing against Boston. Come on now. Come on. Stop it. We're talking about Marcus Morris. He said he's the second best dude to guard LeBron James. Stop it.
That's your internet out there that's saying that nonsense. Let's move on. Let's move on into tonight's game.
The meme's a classic, though.
I think the best one out there is Bleacher Report. I think what Bleacher Report did was the funniest thing to date. They did the house party joint, and LeBron was kid. Okay, go ahead. To me, that was the funniest one of all of them. But tonight, we got this series that people are calling the championship series. And I have a problem with that because here's my belief. Again, then you talked off air. We had our show back last week for the first time in a couple of weeks since WrestleMania. And we came back and we talked. I think Boston should win this series because they're the most talented team. I just can't bet against LeBron James. It just I'm not dumb.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? And I've seen LeBron with just as less with no talent around him right now as he has. And I think he gets players. If Kevin Love can score 20 points, they win the game. That's you know what I mean. I know Kevin Love did have a good game, but LeBron, like you said, had an off game yesterday.
Yeah.
So they're saying the winner of this is the champion. I disagree. I think if the Warriors beat the Rockets in this series, the Warriors will
win
the champion.
Agreed.
I think if Houston wins, Cleveland has a chance.
I think if Golden State wins, it's over. If the Rockets get past, I think Boston or Cleveland can beat the Rockets.
I agree. So let's start with Micah. Micah, the series starts tonight, 9 o'clock. Rockets, Warriors, in Houston. In Houston, they did all this. Houston, we have left off. The Beard. CP2 is finally CP3 again. He's in the fucking conference finals. Do they lose? I ain't gonna lie to you. Like betting against LeBron, I'm not betting against Golden State, but I want Houston to win. I got Golden State winning this in 6 games.
Give me Houston in 6.
Ooh.
Oh shoot.
Give me Houston in 6. Here's the reason why. You know, because why? Come on. They got six.
Flag on the play.
Let me double check myself. Is the format 2-2, 1-1-1, or is it 3-3, 2-3?
It's
never 2-3, 2-no more.
It's 2-2. Yeah.
That's 2-1-1-1. I personally hate that, by the way. I hate 2-2-1-1.
I think it's done for the team. I love it. But you know, it works. So you got 2 in Houston, then 2 in Golden State. And then 1 in Houston, 1 in Golden State, 1 in Houston. So I'm seeing that. Oh, my bad. My calculation wrong. Houston in 5. Because I think they're going to have to win in Houston.
Lock it up.
I think they lose one game in Golden State because here's why. Hold on.
I know we don't drug test here on the Solon Sports.
In five?
Houston?
Yeah.
In five?
I think they're riding a different wave of momentum. Because remember, Golden State's on that autopilot. I've been there before type thing. You know, like, it's okay. Been there before.
Oh,
what we're gonna do.
Okay.
One of the things that works against a team like that is the fact that we're gonna be here. We're gonna always be here because we got freaking three All Stars and a guy who was only an All Star because of us three. You know, we got all that there. We got that core there.
I love it.
Kayvon's mom's gonna get you.
I don't care. His mom's gonna get me. My mom's just a bachelor of his mom. So my mama and her mama can throw down, and my mama gonna win because my mama's good. I like her. She pamper. She too pamper. She got privilege now, so she don't know what it's like to actually struggle any day go more. She don't know no more. Just kidding. Mama Green, you cool people. Mama Green, you're cool. I don't like your side.
Mother's out there, and I gotta say, the NBA and Anheuser-Busch's Mother's Day commercial had me in tears. I may not like Kevin Durant anymore, but that, you are the real MVP for the moms. I thought that was a brilliant commercial on Mother's Day, and I still think you're sniffing glue. And I get what you're saying about the confidence, but I don't think Draymond is that confident. I think they underplay things like LeBron plays in press conferences. Like, oh, you think we just was waiting for them? No, we're waiting for whoever comes because we have a mission. They're not part. If they're part of the mission, then they're just in the way. I agree with that. And I think for what it's worth, I think Kevin Durant wants more. And I don't like the team. Okay, I like Steph Curry. I've liked Steph Curry since he was in college. That's real. My wife likes Stephen Curry. Okay, because he hugged his mama. The same way she liked to joke him, Noah, because he hugged his mama. That's a mama thing, right? But Golden State, you're talking about one of the greatest teams of all time. And they got Kevin Durant, so they one of the greatest teams of all time. Five? What in Houston has you thinking they can beat this team in five? I'm not saying they can't beat them, because I'm not putting that past them. But you telling me Golden State get one? Just one? Not two, but one?
No, I think I'm going weird. I'm going weird because I like to be weird. I really believe it. It's kind of like this, right? It's one of those things that I see with the Washington Capitals. Washington Capitals, as we get into later, are in the East Conference Finals. They're already up 2-0, and it's been a long, long road for them to even get to this point. Well, in comparison, who's been a long road for them to get to this point? Who's been playing with dysfunctional franchises? Who's been playing with players that say, well, I don't like the fact that he yells at me when I'm messed up? Well, that'll be one CP3. By the way, anyone notice that there's like hurricanes and natural disasters everywhere he goes, at least for the first year? It's weird. Anyway, so James Harden, who, quote-unquote, got tired last year in West Coast Finals, what does he have now that he didn't have last year? He has a guy to take the pressure off of. And we saw that when he has off-shoot night, Chris Paul will go ham. And they have enough of a rotation of players around them, which they didn't have before, that can actually bolster up their offense. And they're doing something this year that I really have to interestingly admit that they didn't do before. Play team defense. I'm not saying it's great, but they're doing it. And, you know, regular season doesn't mean anything. Golden State may have been doing whatever with them with the regular season, but that does something to the psyche of a group of folks that had never been in this position before. But one guy who's just as hungry as maybe a Kevin Durant may be last year, you know, wants to show the world that when it comes to premier point guard play, he's the guy. Not some light-skinned dude who only got there and is just going to grow a point guard conversation because he shoots 45 threes a game. And then, you know, when you make 10 of them, then all of a sudden everyone thinks you're awesome. Like, no, there's more to that. Mm-hmm. There's more control on the pace and play, which Steph Curry braces tail. I'm not saying he doesn't. But I think that there's a point to prove here. So I won't be surprised if they get it in five, and I'm calling it in five. If they get it in six, they get it in six. But I'm not surprised if they do it in five because I think they have the momentum on their side. Golden State is just going to do them. It's just going to roll and be them. But it's going to come to the point where they have to really manage their egos in comparison to real adversity. Because if we're being honest with ourselves, what adversity has Golden State really had?
So this is winning. The thing. This is the thing. That's a good point, dude. That's a great point. This is how I look at it. If it goes short, it's Golden State. Like, if it's a short series, it's Golden State. Seven now. If it goes seven, Houston has a good chance. Because I believe that people get tight in seven. You saw what happened with LeBron when they came back from 3-1. You know, certain players got tight. You know what I mean? So you see, I think if it goes seven, yeah, I agree with Micah. Then Houston has a chance. But if it's a short series, to me, the only team that favors is Golden State. That means, one, I believe Golden State will take one in Houston. They'll probably win two in Golden State because they're the better home team in same terms of when healthy, how they play with that crowd. It's something scary. Like, when they play with that crowd, when you got Steph coming off screens, you got Kevin Durant and go ISO, there's no matchup for Kevin Durant in this series at all. Like, not even close. You know what I mean? Like, you can put Trevor Reeves on him, who's a good defender, but he doesn't have the length to even bother Kevin Durant. You're going to put
T.J. Tucker on. I heard T.J. Tucker.
Who's a good defender. Who's not tall, again, not tall enough. He's physical, but not tall enough.
No one can stop
have the
Kevin Durant.
Or the lift. Exactly. So you're going to waste that type of – it's just to me, when you look at the matchup, it's not the best matchup in the world. It's not. But you see scoring. I guess that's a blessing for Houston, is that what they run their high screen role with either Chris Paul or James Harden with the shooters. But, again, you talked about how good a defensive team Houston is. Well, Golden State's a better defensive team. So you got a team who can score the rock and play good defense in Golden State. That's what makes this matchup a little. Oh, I got Houston. I got Golden State in five.
In five?
No, six. I'll give him the six. And six.
I picked Golden State at six as well, but I want Houston to win. King Von Singer 720 on the Twitter said, Micah, what do they have, Hakeem Olajuwon? The only way Houston wins is on 2K NBA with the all-time Rockets team.
Comparing
Golden State to Houston is like comparing Loki to Thanos. Little Avengers reference.
That's not even close. That's what he's trying to say. That's his point.
That he's saying. I think that Vaughn thinks Golden State will sweep them.
No.
Well, I doubt that. I think Houston got a little too much for a sweep. They're gonna bring some adversity. They're gonna bring some challenge.
No. I think if memory serves me correctly,
he might go the other way. He might have in five.
I want to say a couple of years ago when they played in the Western Conference Finals, wasn't that a tight series back in the day when Kevin McHale was the coach? When James Harden got it was a little tight,
but wasn't that the one when James Harden got tired? No, that was last year.
He said Golden State in five. He has Golden State in five. Let me go ahead and move on. Let me go ahead and move on to this. Because this is a debate I want to get into for a little bit, if we can. And it's the whole, what we talked about before the top of the show, and that's the whole GOAT factor. The name the GOAT. You got, you know, whether it's the greatest team of all time, whether it's LeBron James versus Michael Jordan, it's Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady versus John Elway. How sick of the GOAT comparison are you guys? Me personally, because I think what ends the whole debate is it's a matter of age, it's a matter of preference, it's a matter of so many different intervals you can put in place here. Because on the surface, I will say Michael Jordan. You know, and the reason why exactly. They say those positions, Jordan and Kobe and Magic, throw them in there, and LeBron. They save them because they say that position, and you know the quarterback position over the running backs, they're harder positions to play than saying Shaq being a center. He's unstoppable, right? They want to ignore the Bill Russells. They wanted to ignore the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's of the world.
Will Chamberlain.
They want to ignore Barry Sanders. They want to ignore Jerry Rice. And they just quick to put who they want to put there. So is the whole thing the GOAT? You know, we know Muhammad Ali said it, but let's be real. In our age group, LL Cool J made it famous in a rap line. You know what I mean? You know, we know for the longest that Muhammad Ali said it, but to my knowledge, and at least from what I can base it on, it became really socially popular because of LL Cool J. You know, the similar my arm is off limits to challenge. Everybody know that famous line he was talking about cannabis. I say it's time to put the GOAT debate to bed and bury it because it's unfair. It's a debate that's never going to end. You're never going to have a clear decisive winner. It's an unfair debate, right? As I just said, based upon age, preference, and everything else. Should we stop calling LeBron the GOAT? Should we stop calling Michael the GOAT? I remember a young boy once said to me, and I said on the show a few times back, and I had to agree with it, there's multiple GOATs depending upon the era that you're in. Before Jordan, the league was saved by Bird and Magic. They were the GOATs of the 80s. Michael came along and became the GOAT of the 90s. Then there was Kobe, if you want to throw him in there. There was AI, if you want to throw him in there. But then LeBron became the Shaq. Sorry, thank you for throwing it out there. Thank you. Sorry. I meant to say Shaq, right?
Then there was Duncan.
I personally wouldn't put Duncan ever in a greatest of all time discussion. That's just me. But again, there we go. That proves it right there because I don't think that he was a better power forward than Kevin Garnett. I just think he played on a better team with a better coach than Kevin Garnett. I think Kevin Garnett is
That could be debated. I like
okay.
That could be debated.
Okay, but see, debating a position of who did it better, that's a more debate than who's the greatest of all time debate.
Yeah,
right?
As a preference,
same thing
it's
goes
all
in football.
It's all about preference.
Right.
About preference. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you that same thing. Are you sick of that? I'm just every morning, no matter if I'm at work, if I'm in the street, even if you're in a bar having a conversation, you hear the GOAT debate. I'm tired of the GOAT debate. Are you tired? Can we, I don't want to say hang the GOAT because, damn it, that just puts a bad taste in my mouth when you can hang somebody. But can we just kill the GOAT debate already, Wally?
You know, it's one, it's good radio talk, so I'll never kill it. You know what I mean? Because it's like it's a good discussion, right? Because it's like it puts everybody,
it really,
you know, gets everybody's attention.
It makes me furious. It infuriates.
Isn't that good radio though? Isn't that kind of good radio though that makes people furious? It puts passion into it. Doesn't that make good radio? You know what? I'm gonna take my frustration with GOAT talk. Like this is my frustration. So people will try to justify, well, Wally, why do you like Magic? Why are you so much better than Jordan? Why are you? And I'm like, you got to understand, one, we just mentioned it, it's preference, too, right? Secondly, it's error. So, like, you have to, and people recognize things that are in their face. Like, you recognize, a lot of people recognize 90s basketball, right? So they'll say, like, well, Jordan dominated the 90s, the 90s were it. But if you talk to somebody who was born, who lived through the 80s, they may tell you that the 80s is a better brand than that, than 90s basketball. So it's all about your preference. So when you look at, when people are, like, rating GOATs, right? It's all about what you want.
The masses.
A lot.
Let me put a quarter in the mirror because you mentioned something there, and I was going to quickly say it's very few people I've heard say that. So who wins that debate? Is it the majority rules? Because the majority says the 90s. The majority says Michael Jordan. Does the majority outrule the others, and are the others' opinions null and void because they're outnumbered?
No.
Like, how does we?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Know,
that's why the debate is infuriating to me because. You know, if you want to say numbers, then the numbers say this. Like, you go 2 years ago, right, before Marvel got more popular in the movies, right, Superman was the most popular superhero in the world and had been for over 70 years. Now he's, like, number five on that list.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's eras, like you just said. It's majority. So how do you debate that? How do you give reference to the majority?
I promise you can't debate it because, I mean, all you can do in any debate is put out facts. You know what I mean? Like, I always, you know, when I argue with anybody,
facts don't always
count
when it comes to GOAT conversations.
No. You're right. It doesn't. But all, your facts, right? Because all you got to do is put your argument, like writing a paper, right? It's like when you write a paper. You have to put out facts to support your argument, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's your whole
goal.
Right?
I got plenty of A's in college.
Your argument.
I got plenty of A's in college when I wrote papers.
Exactly. So, you know what I'm saying? You think what I'm talking about. So, like, in any debate, I have an issue when people just put out any random comment without anything to back it up. You know what I mean? Because I'm cool with a debate if you bring out facts with it or facts that support your argument, then I could be like, good point, whatever. That way it's like more of a respectful, you know, back and forth debate. That's cool. But when you are just throwing out stuff like, oh, well, so-and-so is the best because XYZ. So-and-so, then like, all right, I'll give you a prime example. Scottie Pippen and Kobe Bryant. This is one of my favorite comparisons, right? Scottie Pippen played with Michael Jordan. But Michael Jordan couldn't win a championship without Scottie Pippen. In terms of what Scottie brought to the table. From what how that team was constructed, Michael Jordan wasn't winning the championship, so Scottie got to be the Scottie Pippen that we all seen during that era. But no one gives Scottie Pippen credit for being a great basketball player. Like, no one talks about Scottie, because Scottie Pippen back in the day was in that list of greatest
players
in
of
NBA.
All time.
He
right.
was on that list. He was on.
But
that
he never
list
took
at
a final shot. He never took a final shot.
What I'm saying though, but that could be Jordan's on your team. It is what it is. Let's just keep it one. He's on your team. So when you look at Scottie in terms of what he had to do defensively as an all around basketball player, he won six championships. He wasn't sidekick to six. He won six championships with Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe
mm-hmm.
Bryant, who was everybody wants to deem as probably in some circles as a GOAT type player, right? For the majority of his championships was not the guy, right? Was not the guy.
Well, that's why they say once Shaq left, then Kobe. Like, we had this debate the other day. That I think Kobe has won with less in those two, not you know prior to Shaq, than LeBron has.
Yeah.
I think Kobe has had I think all the teams LeBron won with, to me, have been better teams than Kobe won with.
Well, I mean, I argue that because you got Lamar Odom on your bench and he's not a starter. That says a lot about your roster. If Lamar Odom's on your bench, if he's your sixth man. That says a lot.
Okay.
I think Lamar Odom, historically, from
basketball guys, and you're a basketball guy, right? You see the talent of Lamar Odom. But from a star standpoint, he wasn't a star. He was a very good player. Well, and to me, he was no better than like Stacey Augmon or any other very good wingman. And I like Lamar Odom.
Listen to my argument to it. You look at the Lakers depth-wise was better than any team. Like, was better than the Miami Heat was only three players. And you saw how they had to construct their roster. They had to get a bunch of sub-level players on their team because they couldn't afford anybody. If you look at the Lakers team, their roster was good. Like, it was a good roster. You had Ron Artest, Lamar Odom,
right.
Kobe Bryant, Paul Gasol. You had Bynum back at that time before the knee injury. Bynum was probably the second best big in the NBA. Before the knee injury.
There was no big center.
You know what I mean?
Right.
There was no center. There was Dwight Howard and Andrew Bynum. So I'm just telling you. I'm saying, like, if you want to look at talent, like, that team was talented. Like, that team was just as talented as any team. And
so
they even said that. I remember listening
so
to
think,
it.
And I know we went off subject a little bit. So you think those teams were more talented than the Cavs teams and the Miami teams?
I would say the Miami team of the first – yeah, I will, because I don't think they had that much other than Wade Bosh and LeBron. They really had that much. I had none but three-point shooters after that. They didn't have versatility. They had none but three-point shooters. But
see, I don't want to turn this into a Michael versus LeBron conversation because I've done research.
I'm not trying
to myself because Vaughn put in there when it comes to facts and debates, to me that vindicates your argument. But it really doesn't. Like it doesn't because King Vaughn Jr. 720 because eras and how leagues were. We had that discussion a long time ago about how Ronnie Lott would struggle in today's NFL, and he retweeted that.
Because the
NFL is different. You can't touch them. I seen a tweet yesterday. That said that Larry Bird wouldn't be good today. Larry Bird would score 35 points a game today because
he would score 80 today.
Because you can't touch
Larry Bird.
Right? And then
Larry Bird, with the way he shot, would have averaged 40 points a game. And that's an exaggeration.
With no exaggeration, no.
You know what gets me?
It's the millennials today, right?
Yeah.
And it's the guys that forget about what's different. I've used the word millennial a lot because that's what's out there and that's how you separate, today's age group of sports fans from us. We grew up in a different era, and even we grew up, we respected what came before us. Today's sports fans don't respect yesterday. It's like today's hip-hop fans don't respect yesterday. And it's valid to say, oh, well, Stephen Curry's the greatest shooter of all time. Stephen Curry's the greatest shooter, one of the greatest shooters I've ever seen in my life. But back then, you can't tell me Chris Mullins couldn't score. Like, it was frowned upon to shoot a three-pointer back in the day because it was considered – it wasn't the highest percentage shot, right? So when you look at GOATs and things like that, again, get back to the GOAT discussion, Shaq to me was the most unstoppable basketball player I've ever seen in my life. Walter Payton and Barry Sanders were the most unstoppable players on a football field I ever saw in my life, okay?
Agreed, Barry Sanders, yeah.
You know, you go to baseball.
I agree with
that. Ken Griffey Jr. did things I never saw a baseball. He was called the Michael Jordan of baseball.
Agree.
Okay.
For you to say
that Babe Ruth's the GOAT, stop. This is what I'm
saying. That's not my error, though. See, again, that's what I'm saying.
It's not my error.
That's not
right.
my error. So, like, for
remember
me,
how
like, that's what I'm saying.
About
like,
boxing?
Not only is it not our era, but he didn't play against other athletes. He played against dudes that went to work the next day. So, I mean, you know, you pretty much doing pickup baseball when it comes to baseball at that time. Guys who are pro ball players, some of them actually did other things outside of that. So guys who are – it's a little different than the guys who specialize in baseball and whose life is nothing but baseball now.
This is the thing. To me, 60 is 60, right? When you hit 60 home runs, 60 home runs, it is what it is. I don't really knock – like,
remember how big 30-30 was? Remember how big 30-30 was?
30, yeah.
That was a big deal.
30-30 used to be special. Yeah, so I don't know.
Everybody is 30-30 now.
If you excel at your craft in an era, I don't knock it. I'm just saying, like, this is how I use that argument for what I've seen. Like, I can't speak on what you saw back in the day. Like, I didn't see Oscar Robertson play basketball. Because a lot of people say that Oscar Robertson's the best basketball player. A lot of people tell you that. Like, I didn't see Oscar.
I heard Earl the Pearl. right? Earl Manigault never made it. And Earl Manigault was the man. Let me give Mike an opinion here about the GOAT debate, because again, it's everywhere, right? It's in wrestling. It's in. I'm tired of it. You know, that's just me. And I get what you said, Wally. And based on what you said, I have to say, damn it, you're right. We're never going to stop arguing that. But it really pisses me off, Micah, the GOAT debate. Should it be buried?
Well, I mean, it doesn't need to be buried. It just needs to be met with the one thing that a lot of people in these GOAT debates just don't have, and that's honesty. And you have to just be honest about what it is that you're coming from, honest that you may not have, Nick Wright, may not have the actual understanding of watching the actual games that these other basketball players or football players or baseball players actually play, for you to have a relative understanding of what was going on during those eras. Because we can extrapolate based on rule changes how Joe Montana will play in today's NFL. We can extrapolate based on rule changes how – like we just said, right?
I'm sorry. You're a teacher, and I'm not a teacher. I need you to explain that. What the hell you just said?
My bad.
We can see
how past eras will play in today's era. The hard part is seeing if today's era can play in the old era. So, you know, Babe Ruth is the greatest of all time. How? He can't beat Roger Clemens in a pitcher match. He ain't gonna hit a Roger Clemens ball. He ain't got no guys throwing 90 on average.
Can we say that Floyd Mayweather would have been hit back in the day?
Oh, Floyd Mayweather, his boxing style is good defensively. Guys would have probably pounded him very well. They're a little bit bigger, but some that are fast. I would love to see him and Sugar Ray. I would love to see him and Sugar Ray in that battle to see how that would turn out.
Awesome.
I would love to see that. Because y'all seen Sugar Ray's skill set. I've only seen Floyd Mayweather's skill set. Do you think Floyd Mayweather as a defensive fighter can stop Sugar Ray?
Boxing speed matters in boxing, and Floyd has boxing speed. And I think
Sugar Ray was faster than Floyd, though.
I think Floyd's hands are so fast. It's like watching that Matrix thing I shared about that Pacquiao fight. Floyd to me is Neo.
You know what?
When it comes to boxing.
I'm going to say Sugar Ray fast to me, and I'm not saying it because he's local. I'm going to say, to be honest with you, Sugar Ray to me is fast with hands, and he's fast with lateral quickness. Like, his foot speed fast, too. He's just fast
all the way around. And he was long.
Those are things that matter.
Those are the things that matter in the GOAT debate. Like, here we are debating two different eras of boxing, where there probably was some differences in the rules, but there's certain things that you can actually
never
compare.
End.
You know, speed.
It's never going to end.
When it comes to Michael Jordan and LeBron James GOAT discussion, anybody that brings up that discussion, one, LeBron James' career isn't finished, so we don't know.
We know he is the greatest of all time. Three more rings. Three more final MVPs. Defensive player of the year. One more MVP. Nine scoring titles.
Defensive player of the year.
I got all this written down. Let me finish now. 6-for-6. Never lost. Undefeated in the finals. Jordan never and his teammates averaged less than 22 points in the finals, and he still won. Michael Jordan ain't never, and I mean ever, in his prime get beat by 25 points. These are facts, people, not opinions. Michael Jordan has never, ever had a high physical position in his prime.
I wish Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in this
conversation.
How many years
is LeBron in it and playing at this level? You didn't hype it for me. Thank you, because that's a good point. Look, if you want to look at LeBron, because I don't want the age and the being blown out, like that don't mean nothing to me. Like
you hate Mike.
I just like Mike. I hate too strong. I don't know the dude. I dislike him. That's hate too strong.
Like
word. So
okay, you're right.
I just like
hang on,
like,
you know what?
Yeah, I just like Michael.
Man, you think I hate the Duke Blue Devils? I don't know those people.
I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know, man. If I met him, I may like the dude. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that, like, LeBron is playing at such a high level at this. Like, he's gotten better at this age right now, or statistically. I'm not going to say athletically. You can tell he lost some certain things, but skill set, he's gotten better. Like, that's the one thing you have to, you know, give LeBron props for. But Lee Kinsey's about 25. That happens. That's a team thing. That's not just LeBron. Like, Jordan get blown out. I've seen Jordan get blown out in the playoff game. I've
Jordan
seen
was
it.
Never
it,
blown
it
out in the playoff his prime.
He was never
Jordan
blown
was never blown out.
Do you want me to Google
scoring
this?
Title. Defensive
player
of the
Jordan
team.
Never. Time out.
Five
Jordan has never
MVP.
Been blown out in the playoff game. No, stop. He has never been blown out in a blowout in the playoff game. Are you going to tell me this for real? Because I will find it for you.
I said in his prime, when he's winning.
He has never been beat by more than 20. I'm going to never be up this thing. Are you sure about this?
And those six in a row that he won when he was playing, never blown out in those six championship playoff games.
Okay, so you're only talking about the all six playoff runs. You're only talking about all
that's
six
all
championship playoff runs.
I'm talking about
three. Now you beforehand.
No. Beforehand, he got blown out by the Boston Celtics. But again, I'm one of them guys in that GOAT debate that says those Celtics teams was way better than those Bulls teams. Okay.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
So your point.
But he's a GOAT, though.
Stop. This is your point. No, because this is why I hate about LeBron losing. This is my thing about LeBron losing. Like, if you say LeBron losses in his finals, whatever. Jordan couldn't even get past the Celtics, right? That's a way better team, right? A way better thing. You just said it.
Can we come on? Michael has to leave. I'll talk about wrestling real fast.
Okay, let me make it quick. All right, I'm gonna make this real quick. You got me. LeBron took a sorry Cleveland State to the finals. That's my thing. And lost and got beat by San Antonio was a way better thing in the finals. But that's not. That goes against LeBron. Jordan, who couldn't get past the Celtics in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Are you telling me those teams that Michael went against was not way far superior?
My point is that I'm correct. You're right. But I'm saying Jordan has never seen that type of team in the finals.
Ever, and the mic means ever, put anybody above Michael Jordan. Okay?
Of course.
That's why
I know you are. It's okay.
All right. Real fast before Micah goes.
Hilarious.
Before Micah gets out of here, I asked the question at the beginning of the program. Is the WWE in trouble? Cody Rhodes, the late great son of the American Dusty Rhodes, all out event in Chicago, Illinois, September 1st, 2018, is going down. Sold out in 29 minutes and 26 seconds. I call bull pucky, Geraldo. That's just me. What makes me mad about this whole thing is that the wrestling world, and most importantly, the voice of the wrestling world, which should be Mike Knox and Perfect Plex, but it's not because we don't know the right channels yet. Busted Open Radio, Bully Ray, who I talk about all the time in this program, and Dave LaGreca all the time. I bring them up and I use their references and what they did on their shows all the time. I'm going to bring it up now. Said, and I quote this morning, this is what infuriated me, okay? Something with that Brad Stevens thing, that this is for the fans. And the WWE is for the money. And last time I checked, it's all business. So if you think Cody Rhodes and him did this just for wrestling fans and wrestling fans won, no, wrestling fans win because it's a different alternative. Cody didn't do this for us. Cody did this for Cody. The Young Bucks did this for the Young Bucks. Do not try to paint the picture. Let me rephrase that. That's the word we're using, like organic, right? Let's paint the narrative. They didn't do this for you. They did this for them. And we just have to be the fringe beneficiaries of them doing it for them. Micah, your thoughts. I'm all in, and I'm proud of all in. I've been a Cody Rhodes' biggest supporter that I think you've ever met of Cody Rhodes, okay? I'm all in, but I refuse to let them paint the narrative that they did this for us and that this is a great day for wrestling fans. No, at the end of the day, the biggest fish in the pond is the WWE, and they don't give a rat's ass. This isn't going to change anything for them. They're printing.
No, it don't change. It don't change anything for the WWE at all. But what does change things for WWE is realizing who needs to be that top guy, because someone's not drawing, and they got to figure out who that person is going to draw, and they keep on picking the wrong guy. That's what's going to keep WWE in trouble. And, you know, and it's been getting them in trouble. You already know I don't hate the guy. I love his skill set. I love his demeanor. I love his look. But the way they keep on booking him, it just doesn't fit who he is. It doesn't seem real at all. And you know, no, Braun Strowman is not a real character, but as a big dude that just beats up people, everyone likes that. So I ain't even talking about Braun Strowman. So don't even try to give me that. But anyway, yeah, Cody Rhodes didn't do that for the fans. Cody Rhodes did it for himself. He did it for himself as a bet against one Dave Meltzer, who everyone believes is the God. People didn't believe that the God of wrestling knowledge is all Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer did the same thing that Mike Knox did, people. He has people that he knows in the business. He has people that he talks to in the business. He has reliable sources. The only difference between him and Mike Knox is the different channel that they own. That's all about it. Ain't no different than Mike Knox. And by the way, I don't remember Bret Hart telling Dave Meltzer that he has an actual fantastic wrestling mind, unlike one, Mike Knox. So, yeah, I'm blowing. Yeah, I know I'm ball washing. I'm ball washing, but it's the truth. So, yeah,
okay.
Whatever. I may be ball washing, but it's the truth.
Listen, it
depends. So, I mean, but we got to be. Yeah. And that's really at the end of it. So Cody did what he was supposed to do because it was good business. Wrestling right now is one of the best eras that I've seen, not since the territory days, where you have so many different options, so many different things to look at. You know, Lucha Underground is coming on with another season. Impact Wrestling is actually doing some good things. There are people talking about Impact Wrestling as a legit product again. And, you know, that hasn't been going on for a while. Sammy Callahan, who I didn't like the fact that he ball-washed John Cena for the way he did, but he did that for business reasons. I don't think he really likes John. I don't know if he does or does not like John Cena personally, but he said what he had to say so the door can still be open for WWE when he as he's been establishing himself on the independent scene. And he has been kicking hom pots left and right, up and down. His character, the Sarah Callahan, Jeremiah Crane character, yeah, he's been really, really good. And so Cody is just capitalizing on the House of Hardcores, the PWGs, the Evolve, which is actually has a partnership, WWE. He's capitalizing on all that, and people want something fresh and different. They don't want Roman Reigns. They don't want John Cena. They don't want the way that WWE has been doing wrestling. They just want something else that seems to be more wrestling-based focus, and that's mostly for the adult fans. The entertainment-based focus that WWE has, that hook, line, and sinker, and as long as they make sure their product's entertaining, then they're fine. But
Let me ask you this. Even you had to
admit that they wasn't entertaining. Backtrash
was horrible. I said it before.
The fans
made me hate WrestleMania, but I watched WrestleMania at home. I viewed it differently. But let me ask you this, though. Another thing that bothered me about what one Bully Ray Dudley said, or Bubba Ray said on the program, I said both his names, both half and half, right? But whatever. He goes by Bully Ray now. But he said that the wrestling movement has never seen anything like this. And this is what happens with, and we said this before about older guys in the business, since ECW. And that the wrestling fans woke up this morning screaming the Twisted Sister song, "We're not going to take it." And this is their rally cry to the WWE that we're not going to take your crap anymore because we're all in with Cody. I was at Ring of Honor's WrestleMania over WrestleMania weekend. And you know what I saw? I saw a pretty bad put together program. And it has nothing to do with the guys that's out there. At the end of the day, I'm going to continue to say this until I die, because it's the backbone of professional wrestling, and every person in professional wrestling before today's wrestlers will tell you this is the truth. It's about storylines. You're going into All In, which I still plan to get there, you and I both. We know some people that are going. But our plan is to be there, okay? It's a big event, but we're going because of what it means and what it's supposed to stand for, because Cody didn't want it, and they said it couldn't be done. But where's the storyline in all this? We know nothing but Okada, Cody going for the world title, that will mean a lot if he wins because his father held that title, and the Young Bucks. That's all we know. I went to a Ring of Honor's event because of Cody and Omega. Shit, All In. I mean, like, is this the biggest thing the wrestling world has seen since extreme crappy wrestling? Oh, did I say that out loud? I did it. It's just how I felt. Since ECW? Micah?
Well, I tell you this. Yeah, my microphone went weird. Here's the thing that we need to understand. The thing that we need to understand about what's going on here, and I'll say this, and I'll leave you to the rest of the noxing for the night. You know, what we have to understand is this.
For some people, wrestling is just wrestling. For me, I do like to be invested in the product. I can watch a wrestling match and not be invested in people. But like you said, you know, it was the Omega and Cody match there at the Supercard of Honor for New Orleans during WrestleMania weekend. Didn't you say that there was a championship match that came on after that? And as soon as their match was over, everyone left?
People walked out.
There you go. So very similar to
Roman
Reigns.
But nobody talked about that. They talk about how they walked out of WWE, but no one talked about how half the crowd left for Ring of Honor as well.
Exactly. Well, the reason why they talked about that one was because of the guy who was involved in the main event and wondering why he came before the WWE Championship. But you know, the whole thing plays against itself. You know, unless you're watching Ring of Honor or New Japan Pro Wrestling actively, you don't know who these guys are and what they're doing. If you're not watching Being the Elite on YouTube, you don't know who these guys are. You're trying to figure out exactly why you should get in. Exactly. So you're trying to figure out exactly who these people are and how you should get invested in them and why they are important. This is what separates WWE from the other guys. They are very, very good at making you invested in their character. Like, for example, you know, I just bring him up because he's the easiest example. Roman Reigns, they get you so invested in hating him or liking him that you watch to see him lose or see him win. It's like watching the Dallas Cowgirls. I mean, Cowboys, excuse me. This will be Cowboys, not girls.
No, they're cowgirls.
Anyway, they're the Cowgirls.
And they're cowgirls.
So they're made the narrative that's fun is to make you get invested in them. The worst thing that can happen to wrestlers, the worst thing that can happen to anybody in sports is apathy. Once people become apathetic to your product, that's when you're grossly in trouble because that's when the numbers fall off. You know, when's the last time Raw had a 4? When's the last time SmackDown averaged a 3 in the ratings? Heck, when's the last time they were competitive enough to even when Nitro was gone, they were still smacking around 6s, 7s, and 8s against basketball?
It's been a long time.
But why is that the case? What have they done to their product that make it fall off? I know there's a natural occurrence of things that people don't want.
The PG era.
I believe so. I believe that people were attracted to a product that was adult-oriented, that had some older elements to it, and kids and adults alike that were responsible with how to disseminate that product enjoyed it and consumed it. And as soon as they went PG for purposes of creating more monetary income, which it kind of did and it kind of didn't, then that's what the product, I believe, ended up suffering. And you can blame whoever amount for that. But at the end of the day, as I wrap up, in order for WWE, in order for them to encapsulate fans, to even get back to averaging 3.5 and 4s for their shows, they have to recapture the magic that they had back in the 90s and 2000s. And all it was just simply being entertaining. They were still doing all that goofball stuff. Like, they haven't stopped doing the goofball cartoony things. They've done it. Mr. Man is still in charge, so he'll still do goofball cartoony things.
It was just hitting very well with stars that people were hitting.
Exactly. They had a crop of stars that couldn't be overshadowed by one guy. Even though there was guys who was at the top, they still had enough of a rotation where everyone was legit. So, for example, right now, who should be WWE Universal Champion?
Braun Strowman.
Of all the guys right now, it should be Braun Strowman. He should have won it off of Brock Lesnar. He's the hottest thing going right now. Who's the second hottest guy that you'll have the championship on if you had to pick a universal champion?
I would go Seth Rollins or AJ Styles.
There you go. Miz. So you have people. I would rather have the Miz. If the Miz has a WWE championship run, that would be fantastic because
he's a great coach.
He's transformed his persona into a guy who was his first WWE Championship run into one of the best acts on the card, both on both brands. Him being a WWE champion is not far fetched because of what he brings to the table. Period. But if you don't put faith in these guys because you keep on one like AJ Styles, great. I'm not knocking AJ Styles, but I'm saying he's been on the top long enough. He doesn't have a really good guy to go against. They put Nakamura again for eight thousand times, and they keep on abusing the matches. There's so many things we can get into, and we need to get into on Perfect Flex. I promise you.
I know you got to go. So I'm gonna let you go, and I'll talk to you next week, brother. You have a good day. Go ahead, get some of that trivia money out there for free. No problems. 347-637-3359. We're gonna get out of here after this moment right here. Wally, bring you back in here. The Washington Capitals up 2-0 over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Can this be the Capitals' year? Waiting for them, if they can win two more games in the Stanley Cup, going for lower Stanley Cup, would be the Winnipeg Jets and the expansion team, Golden Knights. I'm looking to hope the Golden Knights, because I've never seen an expansion team even go this far in the playoffs ever. And Washington getting the monkey off their back. This would be good for Ovi's career. Listen, before there was a rapper by the name Drake, there was Ovechkin who had the nickname Ovi. So that's the real Ovi, in my opinion, is Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals. I'm just being real. He was Ovi first to sports fans. How big is this for the city of D.C. and what's going on around that area for the Washington Capitals to not just get to the Lord Stanley's Cup, but to win the Lord Stanley Cup? And do you think they can?
I mean, they're playing great hockey right now. You got Brayden Holtby, who's playing like one of the best goalies in the game right now. But like you mentioned, Ovi, I'm happy for Ovi. He needed this. He needed to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, to me, he's a guy that needs to win the Stanley Cup more than anything. His greatness in terms of what he's done over his career, and even when people said he was done, he's still able to lead the league in scoring. I mean, look at his postseason run. You know, you always try to look at your guys that are that dog when your team needs you the most. This guy has 10 goals in this postseason. He's playing at a great level. He's playing physical defensively. He's scoring. Obviously, he's a goal scorer offensively. He's set people up for game-winning goals. And look at the Penguin series when he set up Kuznetsov for the game-winning goal. So to me, when you look at Ovi, he's just playing at a high level. And yeah, for the city, it's cool because now you got the city back in the Washington Capitals, a team that, you know, if you look at the major markets in the DMV. This team has been the most consistent team.
Well, they're coming home and for years. Teams in D.C., they have been the ones competing the longest with the best talent.
Yeah, exactly. Best talent has been a team that arguably folks have said they're the favorites to win it all. And it hasn't panned out, obviously.
For the last three years, they've been the favorites.
Yeah, but this year,
get over
they weren't
the hump
even,
of Alex, Bill, of Crosby.
Of Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins, Malkin and the Pittsburgh Penguins. But now you have a team that's not even as talented as a team in the past. You know, a lot of people thought this team wasn't even going to make the postseason because they lost so many talented players. And now look at them. They're two wins away from making it to the Stanley Cup Finals. So all credit to Ovi. Keep playing the same way. Holtby, who was benched and after game two in the Columbus series, balled out to be one of the better goalies in this playoff run. And we've always said this too in the past, Mike, when we talked hockey, that you need to have a hot goalkeeper, and the Caps have that in Brayden Holtby.
Well, all that's going to come home tomorrow night. The Capitals come back to D.C. looking to close it out there at home. That'd be big for that city. It'd be big for, like I said, the city has gone so long without a championship in that city, or even a championship game in that city, so they're going to get that, and I'm proud of that team. I'm hoping they go against the Knights, to have an expansion team do that. But before we get out of here, we saw boxing over the weekend. Your boy, not mine, but I watched the fight. Very entertaining. The boy didn't quit.
Yeah, we both watched it. We talked about it.
He didn't quit.
He didn't quit.
Hold on. Let's respect that. Technically he quit because he sat there and didn't get back up, right? But
Everybody knows about that liver shot
in the corner. But Lemonchenko has become the youngest fighter in three different, the quickest fighter after 12 fights to win three different weight classes in 12 fights. Is he pound for pound? While I know you have your preference, I have my preference, but the world right now, the matches are saying that he is the best fighter in the world. Are you ready to give him that mantle?
I don't know, man. You know, my man. Well, Ward ain't fighting no more, so I can't give it to Andre.
Right. Andre's gone. Like, so that you have to stop talking about Andre Ward. He's retiring on you.
Yeah,
he's like
I can't
CM
talk
Punk.
About. I can't. He's done. You know what? Oh man. I guess I.
Are you gonna say it over Gary Russell Jr.? Are you gonna say it over my boy?
Yeah, over my boy. Yeah, you know I'm giving it over Gary Russell because at this point in time, three different classes is very, you know, impressive. And Triple G would have been cool if he didn't fight that weak opponent.
How'd he do 12 fights? That's what I'm curious about.
How we do it? You know what? It's funny because you know and how he did it because
he hasn't lost.
You know, I'm gonna be real. So beating Gary Russell Jr. was good for him because now it put him in a different class. So after he beat Gary Russell Jr., a guy that people had, you know, were very impressed with and thought he would be able to get the next. Say again, Mike?
We get that rematch?
Yeah, I'm hoping he gets the rematch. And this is, but I hope he does get that rematch, but it's all up to Lomachenko. Does he feel like Gary Russell Jr. is a fight for him? You know, it's up to him. But if I'm Lomachenko, you know, I'm going to think about, you know, fighting Mike. I'm going to think about not fighting Mikey Garcia. Because he wanted to fight Mikey Garcia, but after seeing what Larnes, is that his name?
Lars.
But Lars, I'm messing his name up. I'm sorry. But after fighting
Lenars, L-I-N-A-R-E-S.
Lenars, thank you. After fighting Lenars, I think that Mikey Garcia will get him. Like, after really watching it and thinking about it, I was like, you got knocked down by Lenars, and he's a bigger fighter, but Mikey's a way better fighter. Mikey's a more stronger fighter. He's quicker. He's more skilled. Mikey could get you. Like, now I think that fighting a bigger opponent, I don't know if he's ready for that. You know what I mean? Like, we saw it with Roy Jones and how that took a toll on his body. Some people can do it. Some people can't. He may be better off just being, you know, a lightweight or featherweight rather than just moving. Well, featherweight, to be honest with you, rather than trying to think about going up and fighting Mikey Garcia. Because if he fights Mikey Garcia, that pound for pound title could be gone.
It could be gone quick. Well, before we get up out of here, because, you know, I'm not going to change my stance. It's Bud Crawford, and we don't have to get into the debate.
You
say he hasn't fought nobody. But he will fight that bum who luckily stole a win against Manny Pacquiao.
And that's a nobody, too. And that is a nobody, too.
Horn is a nobody. But that's not his fault. That's promotion. That's his team.
I agree. You're not going to have me argue.
Okay.
I agree. I want to see call for Earl Spence. I told you that. That's the fight I want to see.
Listen, that might be bigger than Wilder versus Joshua to me.
I agree. I think that's a pay-per-view fight right there.
Oh, my
God.
Matter of fact, put both those fights in a pay-per-view card is what you do. And that's how boxing steals back the headlines right there.
Yeah.
Book it.
That would be a great fight. That would be a great card.
Go ahead. Best and worst of the weekend for you if we got out of here.
Oh, man. So, listen to music, man. No music? No, we ain't killing me.
Remember that they killed all the music for us. We don't have it no more.
I'm sorry. I apologize. My bad. Best of the weekend. I would have to be.
Hold on. I got
play.
You, though. I can go with this, though. I like this song.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
We can do that. All right, I'm ready. So best of the weekend, I'm gonna go with the Caps that start to the series, beating Tampa in game one, and following that up with game two, going up 2-0. Worst of the weekend, man, I'm gonna have to say, geez. I'm going to go with LeBron getting blown out. You know what I mean? I thought Cleveland would put a better fight than that. I know I always talk about Brad Stevens being the best coach of basketball, but I thought, you know what, game one, that's a game to take if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, and to be beat by 25 was a good showing.
For me, best of the weekend was just baseball. The Cubs taking a series against the White Sox. I like that. That's that Windy City thing for me.
Yeah.
Being a Southsider who's a Cubs fan, I take a lot of flack from that. Also, best of the weekend, definitely shots goes out to Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks in the all-out, sold-out pay-per-view in Chicago. This is a non-WWE event that sold out in less than 30 minutes over 10,000-seat arena at the Sears Arena in Chicago. That's pretty impressive and amazing. And Lemonchenko's kind of making me a fan of his. The footwork you pointed out and Jay Chris to point out. Listen, you can't deny what's in front of you. You know what I'm saying? Then you just it's blind hatred. But worst of the weekend for me would have to go to the fan base of golf. Tiger Woods has still lost, finished 11th, and you still want to tell me I got to talk about Tiger Woods. No, I don't.
Tiger Woods
is not winning, so I don't care about Tiger Woods. And with that being said, we can get out of here, guys. Listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me and don't love God. We out of here, y'all. See you on Friday. Fingers.
It's time. You're a talent. This is the Shoulder Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's...
Motivation with Amazon Music.
You're still in bed? Didn't you go running?
Oh, I overslept. I'll go tomorrow.
I'm getting in the shower.
Alexa, set an alarm for 5 a.m. tomorrow to hard rock music.
Okay, I'm up.
The right song exactly when you need it. Amazon Music, the simplest way to listen to the music you love. New customers start your 30-day free trial at amazonmusic.com. Renews automatically, cancel anytime.